All right. Very good. We won't be in the second chapter. I always said it Philemon, but we won't be in the second chapter of that book. We'll be in the first one. There's only one chapter. All right. We're asleep today. All right. Good. All right. But Philemon, as we look at a fellow prisoner, we find where the word fellow prisoner is used. In verse number 23. So today we'll be looking at this man, Epaphras, and I think he'll be a help to us for sure. So Philemon, in verse number 23, the Bible says, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." And I know that seems like a really just short, how do you get a sermon from that? Well, thankfully, that's not the only thing that we know about Epaphras. So if you'll turn over Colossians as well. Colossians, we also learn more about Epaphras. In Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, but we'll focus in on a couple verses just a little ways down. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, let's also go to chapter 4 in Colossians. We find this man Epaphras again. Chapter number 4, two verses, verse number 12 and 13. The Bible says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." All right, I tried that a little bit better earlier. But that's how it always goes with those different names, right? All right, but as we look at this man Epaphras, and as Paul there in Philemon mentioned that he is a fellow prisoner. Now, I'll be honest with you. We've read all the texts about Epaphras. So there are some, there's quite a bit of unknowns. There's quite a few things that we don't know. So while Paul calls him a fellow prisoner, whether he was a voluntary prisoner or he was actually imprisoned by the Romans, maybe not be as clear, but I can tell you this, that Paul called him a fellow prisoner. Now, the reason why it's highly possible that he was imprisoned is because he was doing the same ministry that Paul was doing, right? Why was Paul thrown in prison? For preaching the gospel, right? And so going about doing the ministry that God had called him to do, he was thrown in prison time and time again, right? My dad used to always say he never checked out the local accommodations. He would just always check out the local jail because that's where I'm going to end up, right? The Apostle Paul would. But as we see, this man Epaphras was a man who was a fellow prisoner. And isn't it interesting? Now, we'll kind of go back to it here for a minute in a little bit. But he also calls him a fellow servant. You know, all these go together. Now, it's kind of like one of those things where it's not the buffet, right? Now, I want to be in unity in my church. And so I'm going to be a fellow servant, but I sure don't want to be a fellow prisoner. Right? That's not how it works. It's a take it all, right? And so our desire is that, yes, we have 12 words of fellow, The goal is that each of those would show up in our lives. That at times we are a fellow servant, and at times just all of the different ones. And then we come to that there are times where it is time to be a fellow prisoner. And we'll look at it a little bit. So let's go, Lord, in prayer as we start. Lord, we sure do thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and in our lives today. We thank you for your many blessings. And God, I just pray that you'd use the message. I pray that you'd help us as we do focus in, God, on this being a fellow prisoner, that we would take it seriously, God, that we would be a part of your work, and God, that you would use us in a mighty way. We pray. We do pray for Brother Ramon. We pray for his ministry. We pray that you'd just be with him as he travels. Please keep him safe and watch over his family while he's away. But God, I pray that you would help his travels and his labor to not be in vain. And God, I just pray that you'd work and that your will would be done there. And God, we sure do thank you that we get to be a part of sharing the gospel all around the world. So we do thank you for that. We just pray that you'd help us as we look at Epaphras. God, you wrote him in the word, God, for us to learn. And so I pray we would do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Epaphras was what we find in Colossians, was founder of the church there at Colossae. He was saved under the ministry of Paul. So he was saved and then went back kind of to his hometown and was sharing the gospel and was doing a work there. Now, he was probably used in a couple other places. We find there in verse 13 where we just read, and he had a special zeal for the folks there in Laodicea, in Hierapolis, that there was possibly some part that he had in the ministry there as well. And so while we don't know a lot about him, Paul does specifically describe him to us. Okay, so Paul says, yes, he's a fellow prisoner, but then also in Colossians, when he's writing there, he brings it out again and just says, hey, this man, this is some of his attributes. And so as Paul has some accolades for his fellow prisoner and fellow helper, Epaphras, these are things that can help us, that can help us to learn how to be a fellow prisoner, all right? So as we mentioned in Colossians 1, that we find this, that he was a fellow servant. Number one is that if we're going to be, right, a fellow prisoner, we also need to be a fellow servant. Now, what does that mean? Now, we kind of dealt with that many weeks ago, but when we think about a fellow servant, this man Epaphras was not, as we say it this way, he wasn't telling people what to do. He was showing them what to do. Now there's a big difference between those two words, right? Don't tell me how much you care, right? It doesn't matter how much you tell me. It's how much you show me, right? And so as we look at this man who was a fellow prisoner, one of the attributes that's highlighted is that he was a fellow servant. He was a fellow servant. Now, I know it's so simple, but if we're going to be a fellow prisoner, a fellow servant together, we got to be a part. Pastor mentioned this already earlier, right? We got to be a part. We'll mention it a little bit more, but again, the truth of the matter is that we can say whatever we want to say, right? And I'll go to prison for the Lord, but I won't show up on Sunday, right? So we got to be a part of it. So as Epaphras, he wasn't telling people, man, you need to be out there sharing the gospel with people. You know what he was doing? He was sharing the gospel with people. He was going around and sharing the gospel, and we'll find that he was discipling people and being a part of the ministry. Listen, don't just tell people you're a member of Central Baptist Church. Be a member of Central Baptist Church, which means you help in the labor. You help in all of it. And yes, it is this idea of being a fellow prisoner. But again, we just got to be reminded, you got to be a part. You got to be a part of it. And here's the truth, that this man Epaphras, yes, he was a fellow prisoner. And Paul could say that because he was there. Because he was a part of it. He was involved in the ministry. He was involved not just telling people. He didn't just preach it on Sunday. He lived it on Monday, right? And that should be all of our goal, right? And I want to truly believe in my heart, in my mind, that if God brings us to a place that here in Gillette, Wyoming, that it could possibly be that if I share the gospel, that it could send me to prison. that I'd be willing to do that. Why? Because I'm a part of it. Think about it this way. You remember Daniel? When Daniel was called out, right? When Daniel was, they're gonna entrap him, right? Do you remember how they entrapped him? They said, well, you're not going to pray to anybody else, right? You're only going to pray to the king. That's how it's going to be. And here's the deal, that when it came down to the moment that Daniel had to make a decision, the Bible is very clear that Daniel went to pray in his chamber, listen, as he'd done before. Okay? As he'd done before. So here it is, the new law today, in that moment, the new law was this. You can't pray. You can't pray to the Lord. You can't pray to anybody else. Nope, you can't do it. Here's what he did. He just did what he had always been doing. So as we see our world change, we do see and sense the change here in America even. We're thankful for what has been accomplished, and we're thankful that the name of Christ has been lifted up recently and things of that nature. But we understand that we are on a sinking ship. And our goal is that we just continue to live for the Lord. But the truth is, in times of peace, that's when we should just be serving already, right? So we're already a fellow servant. We're already a fellow prisoner. Paul said, hey, this man Epaphras, he's a fellow prisoner, but he was already a fellow servant before. So he's with me in the jail, but he was with me at visitation. He's with me in the prison. He's with me when we're in trouble, when we're shackled. He's there with me. But he was already there before, and that should be our goal as well, is that we live in a day-to-day fellow servant attitude, that one day we might need to be there in the prison with somebody comforting them and to be a help. But the truth is, we can do that already as we're just living for the Lord in our day-to-day basis. And I say that, and it's interesting because it's like I felt like when I was going through this message and put it together, I'm like, I done already preached this like 10 times. Truly, the way for us to be a unit, the way for us to be fellow prisoners is making sure that in our personal life that we're living for the Lord on a daily basis so that we can be a help, that we can be a comfort, and that's our goal there. So we see that this man was a fellow servant. We see that he was a faithful minister of Christ, faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras was this. Ready? He was a soul winner. He reached out to the lost with the gospel. He was a faithful minister of Christ. Because here's what Paul says to the church of Colossae. He's like, you know him. You know Epaphras, right? He's a faithful minister of Christ. He's living for the Lord. He's witnessing. Some of you are reached by him. Now, I know that it's the Lord who does the saving. But yet at the same time, you know, it was Epaphras who came and witnessed to you and came to your household and shared the gospel with you. And some of you now are living for the Lord and you're saved. And it's because you know him that he was a faithful minister of Christ. So yeah, if we're going to be a fellow prisoner, if we're going to be there, then ultimately, listen, we need to be, again, soul winning even now. Having a concern for the lost. What is the most comforting thing that we can offer to anyone? The Savior. The Savior. What kind of... Let me go ahead and read you a poem I wrote. That if I wrote a poem, it would sound like fingernails on a chalkboard probably. Right? Right. The things that I can offer, the things that I can come up with to be a help. But listen, what we can offer as comfort, that what we can help Gillette with is that we share the gospel. That we just be a faithful minister of Christ. And breaking it down just a little bit, man, that he was faithful. That he was faithful. How many of you have understood and realized life can change in an instant? And I've experienced it. I've seen it in others' life, that it's literally you're headed one direction and this is it. And all of a sudden, one phone call. Just one message, one instant, and all of a sudden life is different. It's changed. So the truth of the matter is that we must be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And again, if we're going to be the comfort, if we're going to be the fellow prisoner when it comes to that time, it's going to be because we were faithful prior to that. Faithful. So here's my encouragement to you. Be a faithful follower of Christ. Do you understand? I say faithful. I didn't say perfect. All right, let me. Would all the perfect people please stand up? I had to sit down before I said that, right? For sure. There's no perfect people. But we're not perfect, but may the Lord find us faithful. Faithful, right? A just man falls 7 times and riseth again, right? That, yes, that our desire is to be faithful. And so if we want to be a comfort, if we want to be a help, if we want to be a fellow prisoner, we've got to make sure that we're being faithful. Faithful. Because we don't know when the moment would come. And someone might be comfort. We just don't know. Again, we go back to the thing that life could change in an instant. So it should be, our desire should not be, well, I want to be faithful so that way I can be there at the right moment at the right time. Our desire should be, I want to be faithful just to the Lord. Lord, through faithfulness, I just want to be a part, be a help, be a comfort, whatever may come. I just want to be faithful to the Lord, right? So he was saved under Paul's ministry, but had his own personal burden to reach the lost. He was a faithful minister that he just continually shared the gospel. So are we ministers of Christ? Of course, we want to be faithful, but we want to be ministers of Christ. Are we sharing the gospel? Again, that's the most comfort that we can bring to anyone. Anyone who's lost without Christ, headed to hell, and rightfully so, the best thing that we could ever do is to be a comfort through sharing the gospel. So are we passing out tracts? Are we having personal conversations with people? This man Epaphras, he was. He was a faithful servant of Christ, which means he was out there reaching the lost and being a faithful minister. Right? Are we prepared? Let me ask you this question. Are we prepared to lead somebody to the Lord? We want to be a comfort. We want to be a help. And I know we'll get to the fact that being a comfort to our fellow brethren is where we're headed. But we got to understand, man, I'm fearful. I'm a little fearful at times because I know me, okay? I say it that way, I know me. That is that sometimes I get so just kind of wrapped up in going to church, doing our thing, that I'm afraid that I'm not prepared for God to do a great work in our service. What do you mean by that? Here's the thing. What a blessed service we had this morning, right? And, yes, visitors, we're so thankful for that. But you know what? You know what would be awesome? Preacher gets up there and preaches a salvation message on a Sunday morning, right? And all of a sudden, here we go. We got 15 people walking the aisle to get saved. And you know what happens right then? Pastor asked me to stand right here, and I get real nervous. What do I do with you guys? Right? So where I'm headed with that is this. Do we have 15 folks who are ready right now with Bible and show someone how to be saved? And I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, are we prepared? Are we a faithful minister? So in that way, hey, a pastor all of a sudden looks at us, catches our eye during the invitation, is like, hey, will you come pray with this person? Will you come share the gospel with them? You know what that is? That's part of being a faithful minister of Christ. We're ready. We're ready. Man, faithful. How many times are we brushing up on the Romans road? Right? How many times are we just prepared? We're just waiting. Hey, we're ready. And so what we see is this, that when we live faithfully as ministers of Christ, then when those times do come of trouble, of trial, we're ready. Why? Just because we're living faithful to Christ. Faithful to Christ. And so our ministers of Christ, faithful there. Not only a minister of Christ, but faithful. So we just want to make sure. Right? A faith, that we say, and I'll be willing to go to the prison for, should also be a faith that says, it gets me out of bed on Sunday morning. And it gets me out of the easy chair on Wednesday night. And it gets me to the streets on door knocking and things of that nature, right? And so that's the goal, just being faithful to Him. Now, Epaphras was not only just a faithful minister of Christ, though he was. Another thing is this, that in verse number 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Here it is. He used others' testimony to encourage others. So Paul says this, hey, Epaphras, he's been an encouragement to me. Why? Because he's been telling me about what y'all are doing there. He's been telling me about all the good things, you know, that are going on, that the Lord's working in your life and that God's doing a great work. And that's kind of how we get to be this week. We get to have those kind of testimonies this week. Man, we had a family join the church this week. What a blessing, right? Had two that were following the Lord in believers' baptism. Man, that's an encouraging thing, right? And so using the testimony to encourage. Right, when it comes down to trials, when it comes to times of depression, or when it comes to times of discouragement, man, sometimes we need to allow the testimonies of others to encourage us. To encourage us. Man, there's some days that I don't always feel like coming on Sunday morning. I don't. But then all of a sudden, the Lord sometimes brings to mind people's faces. I think, man, be, right? And so He uses the testimony of others to encourage, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. He declared to Paul that some of the folks there in Colossae loved him, cared for him. Those are some of the things that were encouraging to him, even when he was in prison, or even when Epaphras was there. Okay? So I wrote this. All right? Can pastor or fellow church members use our testimony or how we're living to encourage others that are in the battle or in trials? Hope so. Right? Hope so. But I'm allowing God to work through me, and then that can be an encouragement and a help to others. Right? All right. Now, here's one. This is for all of us here. If we're going to be a fellow prisoner, we're going to be a help, to be an encouragement, here's something that we learned from Epaphras. Let's go over to chapter 4 in Colossians. Chapter 4. In 4:12, the Bible says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, there you go, right? A servant of Christ, there it is, kind of the same thing, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Okay? So here's what we see. Epaphras was a man of prayer. You know how you can be an encouragement to your fellow church members? Pray. Be in prayer. And there's sometimes that we know the battles that are going on because it might be public, or maybe you've mentioned it, and maybe testimony service or something like that. Maybe you've mentioned it and had conversations with folks, and maybe we kind of know that you're going through the ringer, so to speak. Right? So we pray for you. That we should, right? But sometimes we don't know those things. Have you ever faced a secret battle on your own that you really didn't share with others, but you were going through it? Sure. We've all been there. Here's one of the ways that we can be a comfort, a way we can be a fellow prisoner, is this, by laboring in prayer. Laboring. I don't think the word laboring is used in a proper. Let me just tell you, work, that prayer can be work. While work is a four-letter word, it's not one of those four-letter words. Bad one. All right, man, we got to wake up. Right? But here it is that we need to labor in prayer. We'll be a fellow prisoner. There'll be times that we need to be laboring in our prayer closets, that we're on our knees. I don't say this to score brownie points or any mess like that. I'm telling you, I know, you know, you have a pastor's wife who prays for us. fellow servants, and they're laboring on their knees. First of all, we should be doing that for our pastor all the time. Right? Also, that's a way that we can be a help when we know that somebody's going through the battle, when they're going through trials, when they're going through tribulations, when they're going through things. Hey, Paul's saying Epaphras. Do you know what the word Epaphras means? His name. Ready? Lovely. It's okay, guys. Right? He's a lovely guy. Not saying effeminate, all right? We're saying he's a lovely guy. And it wasn't just that his name meant that, but his life showed that. Why? Well, because Paul says, man, he's a fellow prisoner. He was praying. He was praying for Paul. He was praying for his ministry, but he was praying for his people there in Colossae. He was praying for those in Laodicea. He's praying for the folks. He's laboring in prayer. And so we need to be people who labor in prayer. Are you praying for one another? I hope so. And many times, I'll be honest with you, I look at myself and I look at the time that I've spent in prayer. I have to sometimes ask the Lord, Lord, please forgive me. I've not been praying for my fellow church members like I should. And so we need to be laboring in prayer. But not only laboring in prayer, he prayed fervently. Fervently, which means this, earnest zeal, eagerly, with great warmth, right? You know, sometimes prayer will lead us to tears. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? I've been to different meetings and sometimes preachers and you stop and wonder, are you preaching? Are you praying? I'm not sure what's going on here. But there's some zeal there, right? Almost like I got to get a hold of God, right? And sometimes that's a big help for sure. But that's how we should be praying for one another. Yes, that we're laboring in prayer, but we're fervently praying. We are praying as if we know that God can do a work. Right? Praying in faith. Praying, believing. Hey, I'm not just, God, would you help him? I know they're struggling. But with fervent, Lord, would you help him? Would you encourage him? Would you strengthen him? Would you show me how I can be a help to them? Right? Different in our prayer than just naming their name, and that's a good start. But we see this man, Epaphras, he prayed fervently, right? Does our prayer time move us even emotionally? Right? It should. It should. We need to pray more than three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right? But we need to pray on purpose, with a purpose, fervently, right? Also this, he prayed, listen, specifically that they would do God's will. I just, you know what would be a big help in all of our lives? It's if we'll just do God's will. I use this sometimes with the kids. Every once in a while, and I say, all right, kids, how many of you, your mom, your dad asked you to take out the trash? You looked at them, and you said, yes. You got up, and you took that trash out, and you did it with joy. You did it with spring in your step. Oh, yeah, we're going to take the trash. You go out. You put the trash in the trash bin. You come back. You put the bag in there. All right? And you go back and you say, Mom, is there anything else I can do for you? And your mom looked at you and said, yeah, go to your room. You're grounded. What? So they're like, oh, yeah. You know how kids are. Of course, I always do my chores. I always have a happy heart. No, right? So they're like, yeah, yeah. No, they've never done that. Exactly, right? Sometimes difficulties, pastors mention this, sometimes difficulties come in our life because we're just not doing God's will. That is true. So what Epaphras would do is he would pray that folks would do God's will. And I got a little guy. He's in the safe. I know for a while they're safe. You know that there'll come a point where he's no longer safe. He needs to be saved. What I want to do is I want to be a dad. Why? Because I know what will bring comfort in his life is knowing Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is that's what will help your kids too. That's what will help your family members. That's what will help that coworker who's a real pain in the neck. Sure. But they're praying. praying that they would do God's will. So yes, first of all, in salvation, then also our prayer for one another should be this. Brother Wayne always picks on me, so I'm picking on you. You know what I'm praying for, Brother Wayne? But I'm not just saying, well, God, well, Brother Wayne does the right thing today. Oh, why? Because I care about him. Why? My fellow church. Fellow prisoner of Christ. Fellow servant. That's how we should all be amongst ourselves, that we're praying one for another fervently, and that we're praying that, you would do God's will. I know that there's times of temptation to not do God's will. I face it, you face it, we all face it. That we're praying one for another. And hey, when that time comes, when that temptation comes for you to do your own will instead of God's will, and that you have a church family who's back, maybe at their house, maybe at the altar, they're praying for you. And I'm praying that you'll do God's will. There's great help. There's great encouragement right there. Now, we also see this as we finish. Everybody's finished. Okay? Last point. That is this, that Epaphras was a man of great zeal. Great zeal. So we see that verse number 13. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea. So we see that this man of great zeal. Now zeal is an eagerness of desire to accomplish something. Now what is that? Epaphras wanted all to be saved, discipled, and to have a fellow prisoner in the fight. He desired to do that, to accomplish that. We understand, it was mentioned already, there is something that is very encouraging about others being battled. One of the passages that comes to mind is there in the prison, Paul and Silas. I think maybe Paul was discouraged. Sure. Maybe Silas, you think maybe he was discouraged as well? Yeah, it's midnight. They've been beat almost to death. They're in the prison. And I know, and I don't mean to elaborate on the scriptures. I don't mean to take it out of context. Think that maybe Saul, that Silas. I think that maybe Silas looked over at Paul and said, Silas, I think you should. That's all I'm saying. Sing victory in Jesus. It wasn't victory. Let's sing a song. Midst of it. Hey, we're really fellow prisoners right this moment. Let's praise the Lord. What happened? Earthquake came. Prison doors were flung wide open. The Philippian jailer came in and said, well, my life's over. They're all going to be gone. We know they are. What did Paul and Silas say? Hey, do thyself no harm. We're here. See, we look at the end result. We're thankful for it, right? We are. But what was it before that? I don't know. And I'm not going to try to just say that this is exactly it. But I will say that, man, going through prison, going through trials, there is something helpful about having somebody with you. And we all want somebody with us, right? That's right. We do. We want somebody with us. Now, here's the key. Be that somebody for somebody else. Sowing and reaping is a real concept. It's a real unbreakable law. Hey, man, I desire that when I'm going through struggles, when I'm going through battles, that the Lord would use somebody. Yes, I know that the Lord is there, but sometimes there's just something extra special about the physical presence of another person there with me. And yes, Lord, I'm going through it. Would you send somebody? But then also remember that others are going through it too. to somebody that you want. This is somebody that you want. It's somebody. Why? Well, Paul, been in prison. We've known some trials. We've known some tribulations. But even, I think, even when he was sitting there in the prison, maybe in times of discouragement, late at night, serving the Lord, that bring help and comfort. Right? That's how it does. That's how it works. Now, I'll be honest with you. I debated about whether to share this testimony or not. And here we are. Right? And so, one of the things that was a big help to me is that when my dad died, Brother Jeremy came all the way down from here, or just about 7 or 8 hours to spend with our family, turn around and drove all the way back. And he was a big help and a comfort. And I never forget that, and I appreciate that. And I remember how much of a help others were in that time. So a year and a half later, come to Gillette. Right after I get here, Christina. I remember in the middle of losing my dad, I remember that the kindest thing that I could ever remember somebody saying, because everybody's looking for what do I say and all that, right? I remember that the kindest thing that I remember somebody saying to me was this: I'm sorry for your loss. Left it at that. They were praying, sure. Here it was, somebody else's turn. Just remember, Miss Christina, I'm sorry for your life. Pray for you and encourage you. You understand that's how it works? Help. Taking that. Help. It doesn't stop. Because whether it's loss, truth is, at some point, your family will be the one that'll be in the family car headed to the cemetery. It'll come your way. Death will knock on your family's door. Sure. It's not always death. Sometimes it's sickness. I had some of our fellow church members recently going through some tough health times. And I've never struggled health-wise necessarily in that. But I know that there's some others who have. And the goal is that, hey, Lord, you helped me and you sent people my way, and now I want to be that to somebody else. That's the goal. That's what we desire. You see, when a church is feuding, that stuff doesn't happen. Doesn't. Let me just figure out how I can wring your neck instead of how I can pray for you. That's not what we desire. We desire that when tough times come, trials come, they come knocking on your door, that you have a church family, fellow believers, fellow prisoners coming by your way. Just want to be helped. Just want to be an encouragement. Praying for you. I'm reaching out. Trying to win the loss. That's how we can be a better fellow prisoner. By living our lives faithfully to the Lord. Remembering that what He's bringing me through is on purpose. With a purpose. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. I pray that you'd help us. God, Epaphras, you only have recorded 5 or 6 verses in your word about his life and ministry. But God, the truth is there's a lot there. So I pray that you'd help us. God, yes, help us to take some of these great attributes from Epaphras, Paul. Help us to take those, help us to apply it to our lives. God, the truth of the matter is, help us to be more like your Son. God, help us to be more like Jesus in our day-to-day life. God, help us be prepared, ready to be faithful so that we can be a help to others when they're going through the battle. God, we thank you again for all of your many blessings to us. We thank you for the great day in your house. God, we thank you for those who are trusting and following you for the next step of your will in their life. Thank you so much for that. Now we pray. We pray for our pastor. We pray for his family. Now we do pray that you'd protect him, that you'd guard him. God, we know that Satan is after him and his family, but greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And so we just pray that you'd protect him, God, that you'd help him. God, I pray for our fellow church members here. The truth of the matter is we don't know some of the secret things that are going on in their hearts and minds, God, some of the battles that they're facing. But God, I do pray that you'd give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us to know when to comfort. God, help us to even know when to provoke and to work good works. God, I pray that you'd give us wisdom so that we can be a help, so that we could comfort, God, even in the midst of battle and troubles. God, we thank you again for the gift of the church. We thank you for the gift that you've given to us, and we sure do pray that you'd help us not to take it lightly. God, help us not to take it lightly to be a member of a church. Help us take it seriously, God, because there's things that you want to accomplish through us. We pray that you do your great work in every heart and life, and we thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name.